right. Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Tim Miller. This is the Rebound Podcast. We're excited to have a current member of the JMU community here with us today, Tim Howley. I'll have him introduce himself, but we're excited to have everyone here learning from stories of others. We believe storytelling is a powerful way to get lessons across. So, Tim, thanks for joining us. And can you give us maybe a quick background on who you are, where you come from, and maybe where you work now?
Yeah, of course. Well, thank you so much for the invitation to be here. And like you said, my name is Tim Howley. I teach in health sciences, and I've been teaching here for about 10 years. And before this, I was working actually in student affairs as a health educator with the University Health Center. I did that for about 5 years, but I was a double Duke before I even started working here. So I got my undergrad in kinesiology in the FEET program. So, and then I got my master's in the 5-year MAT program. I met my wife at JMU through our involvement in the Reach Peer Educators. And we were friends for a while before we started dating. And, but now we're living in Harrisonburg and raising our family here. And originally I'm from Long Island, New York. So I didn't really ever think my life would bring me to this point in time, but here I am and very happy that it did.
Well, I would say from what I hear from students, they're all very happy that it did too. So
thank you. That's very kind.
Yeah, I hear great things all the time about the work that you do. So let's talk a little bit about, you gave us a sneak peek into sort of how you got here, but one of the things that I think is important is that a lot of our students think that, you know, you finish high school, you go to college, you pick a major, that becomes your job, and that's what you do. And I've yet to find that to be true for almost anybody. So Can you talk a little bit about your sort of path from sort of what the high school, then college, then what happened after that? And did you follow that magical path or were things different for you?
Yeah, and I agree. I hear that story from students all the time. And one of the biggest things that I tell them is to ask questions to people that they look up to and role, you know, their role models and their mentors, because people don't really come to college saying, "Oh, I want to be a college professor," you know, and you know, things happen. So in high school, I was really fortunate to go to a great high school with great teachers, and I was like, I kind of like this teaching thing. It seems like they have like a positive impact on people and the world. And so that's what I thought I wanted to do. I didn't know the subject area until I did a program where we kind of linked with middle school students and we talked to them in their health classes about like the transition to high school. And my health teacher kind of like led that. And so she became a big mentor to me. And I was like, oh, maybe health education was something that I wanted to do. So then I come to JMU, with health physical education on my mind and had great professors in that program and great experiences in that program. And I was on track. I was like, yeah, this is what I want to do. And then I got involved in the Reach Peer Education program along with several other things that on campus. But I was like, oh, well, health education and college students, this is a pretty good gig. And I never really thought like this whole world of student affairs existed or so I did that. I had an assistantship for my grad year in the health center, and I got some more experience in like being more of a professional in the university setting. And so I was interested in that. I actually applied for a job at UVA doing similar type stuff after my master's program. I didn't get that job, but I also had lined up a teaching job. And so I did end up teaching middle school down in Chesapeake, Virginia for a year. While I was down there, I had a first year teaching experience, which was, I learned a lot. and that was definitely a very, very challenging year for me. But I think in like November, I was ready to run away from that job. By the springtime, I was like, okay with it. And I was like, I was ready to go back for the next year, but then a job at JMU opened up in the health center. And so I applied for that position and fortunately I got it. And so then I was kind of like a boomerang. I could only stay away from JMU for so long. So that's how I ended up back at JMU. I taught while I was there working as a health educator. I taught adjunctly for health sciences one semester, a bunch of semesters in kinesiology, teaching kinesiology 100. And that's when I kind of really got the itch to like teach college students. So I kind of found like, oh, this is really what I like. And so then, after 5 years of doing that work, I did find myself a full-time teaching position in health sciences.
Gotcha. So there's so many questions I have after hearing that. They're different from the ones I was given. So let me go way off track here. And could you talk about, if you could go back to your undergraduate graduation day and give yourself advice about what's to come, knowing what you know now, like today you literally jump back in time, Bill and Ted style, and you can say to yourself something on that day about what's to come, what would you tell yourself?
Oh, wow. In some ways, I think I would tell myself like nothing, because I think I didn't make every right decision, but I don't think I would change anything. Right. I think I found meaning in some of the mistakes that I made. I found purpose in some of the, in the journey that I took. So I think I would just, remind myself to be present, and to, don't take everything so seriously, like breathe once in a while, like take time to care for myself and maybe be a little bit more confident in who I am and what I'm trying to do. But, I mean, there's plenty of things that like, oh, wow, that I made a huge mistake there. But again, like, I think those mistakes happened and I learned from them. So,
yeah, well, I do think that, I mean, it's such a great answer. I mean, it's not the answer you normally would get, but it says a lot about the purpose with which you're living your life, that you don't go back and like, oh, I wish I had turned left here and go over there. But that, the mistakes have power too. And I almost think that's the great advice for the students and whoever else listening to this, is that the mistakes are part of the journey.
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciate that advice. So talk to me about the favorite thing about working with college students.
Oh, they're awesome. I love them so much. I had an incredible time as a JMU student, and there's just something so powerful about this time in people's lives. They're energetic, they're excited, and they're ready to change the world. And, I feed off of that energy. And so I just love work, and to work with JMU students in particular is just, I'm so thankful. Sometimes I was telling, we have a new academic unit head in our department, and I was telling her what I met. I was like, sometimes I have to pinch myself and remind myself, like, I'm doing what I wanted to do. Like, I get to work, with college students, with JMU students, a place that has given me so much. And I feel like I get to give back and work with students on their journey. And then to be in contact with them when they leave here, that has been incredibly rewarding for me. To me, the work that I do, it's about the relationships. And when you have positive relationships, it doesn't end when they graduate. And that's the, what a blessing to have all these people that that you've been a part of their journey and they've been a part of mine. And so that's been fun and rewarding part of the job.
So let's, I'm bouncing around a little bit. You're sort of triggering me to go different places here.
Sure.
I want to go back again to the early career stuff. And it's funny, I had a conversation with a student who's going to graduate soon. And they're realizing that maybe they don't want to do what they've been training to do this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And your teaching story was really, really, really important. So I'd love to delve into that a little bit more. And can you talk about sort of the, you think you're supposed to do this and you realize you don't really, you're not, I don't want to put words in your mouth about how you felt about it, but can you talk about like, okay, I'm heading out in the real world. I have this job, I have this path, and I'm realizing it's maybe not what I should be doing. Can you talk about sort of reckoning with that and how you sort of manage that? Cause I feel like that happens to so many of our students and they feel like they've done something wrong or they made a mistake or Is it okay if you just sort of talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. And I think like one of the things that was, it was really hard for me because, you know, for such a long time, I had envisioned that I was going to be this like K through 12 teacher. And, you know, I was like, oh, I want to teach middle school one because, you know, if I taught high school, I didn't have any facial hair at the time. And all the students looked older than me. And two, and I was like, middle school was like such this developmental time when people are making health decisions, health behaviors. And I was like, and then looking back, I think I had some natural strengths at the elementary PE that I didn't like lean into more and like explore a little bit. But that middle school year that I was teaching, it was really hard and it wasn't always fulfilling. And every day that I went to work, it felt like I was going to work and it was hard and it was challenging every day. And when I was a grad assistant at the University Health Center, like I loved going to work. It didn't feel like work. And I remember saying this to a friend of mine and they're like, well, maybe that's tells you something, you know, maybe that's, and I was like, yeah, but it's, you know, sometimes I felt like, oh, well, that's like not really work. It's like, it was just too easy. And then I just realized, you know, we should lean into our strengths and things that we're good at. And ultimately I was like, all right, well, I'm going to take advantage of this opportunity. I could always go back to teaching, but let me explore this world a little bit more. And I'm really glad that I did.
Can you talk about the like family with that when you had to explain, you know, oh, I'm changing. I thought we were going here. I'm now going here. I mean, how was that? And I'm not trying to judge the family. Just wondering, you know, how do you have that conversation with?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a little, I have to say they were really supportive, really. They knew how much I loved JMU. They knew that was a great opportunity for me. So I can't say that they were really all that surprised. And I think, you know, I think they had a realization that, you know, your degree, like nobody was ever like, oh, the degree doesn't mean anything now, because I wouldn't have been able to do what I was doing if I didn't have any degrees. And, you know, it was my experiences that actually made me a little bit more versatile in what I could do. So I have to say my family was really supportive. And I mean, I wasn't going to be a millionaire being a teacher. I wasn't going to be a millionaire going to work in student affairs either. So I know some of our students struggle with that, you know, element of like the financial stability and that sort of stuff. So, you know, it was just like, all right, well, you know, we knew Tim was never going to like bring in the dollars. So they weren't counting on me for the beach house or anything. So.
Sure. I got it. All right. That part wasn't a disappointment. So that's sort of the professional career side. Can you talk about the life adjustment of, you know, one of the things that we hear from young alums all the time is, you know, they're used to, I can call my friends and 5 minutes later we can get together, or, you know, just that life feels so different the minute you go from, we all live near each other and we can do all this, to now, oh, wait, I haven't seen my friends in a month because we have to make these thing called plans.
Yeah.
So do you mind talking about sort of that life transition sort of post-college or college into post-college and friends? And, you know, are you still in touch with people from undergrad and JMU time? Like, how does that look for them?
Yeah, for sure. Well, my friends were such a huge support, and actually one of my best friends, he was doing a very similar thing that I was, and he was teaching middle school and in the Richmond area. And then I was down in Chesapeake. And so we relied on each other a lot, and we connected a lot. We came up for JMU football games almost every home game. So that was a good way for our friend base to get back together. And yeah, so it definitely did look different. And that social support, you know, I always think back that first year out of college was in many ways like another freshman year, right? Of like growth and development. And so kind of just going through a lot. And I lived on my own. And I think I'm glad that I lived on my own, though, because I spent so much emotional energy during the day. So it was nice that I could just decompress, but it was also isolating at the same time. So it was important to lean in on the friend support and have that. When I came to JMU and started working, balancing, you know, being a professional in the town that I went to school in was a little bit different. And, you know, so that was, you know, just like kind of learning, you know, professionalism and things like that, and making sure that when I picked a place to live, I was just, you know, we do set up kind of bubbles within the Harrisonburg community. So I kind of was okay in that realm. But yeah, I would run into students sometimes, you know, like at Walmart, and I'm teaching like the nutrition, and I'm like, oh my God, what's in my grocery cart? So don't judge me too much, but yeah. So, you know, like, you know, it's a challenge getting used to that sort of thing. But now that I live in Harrisonburg, it's still, and I love seeing students off campus, and I don't mind. I'm not doing anything that, you know, I'm worried about them seeing. And in a lot of ways, I think I can role model some good behaviors for them, and, you know, some balance, like family work balance and that sort of stuff. So, and they tend to enjoy seeing me and the family out off campus as well.
Yeah. No, it's funny. There are two things you said that really stuck out to me. One, every time I'm at Martin's, I'm like, who's going to see what I have in my cart today? Make sure you get salad and Ben and Jerry's just so look, you're living a real adult life.
Yeah.
Even if that salad's never getting eaten. So it's the guilt salad is what I call it.
Yeah.
The other thing you said I thought was so true for our students is that it's really their second freshman year, the year after college. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we talk about it enough that way. So I really appreciate you sort of naming it that way, because they forget that they started over, and probably for many of them, ninth grade, and they started again first year at JMU, but they're also now probably in a different place, different life, different everything. So I really appreciate you naming it that way, because I feel like I've heard that before, but I love hearing it from you, because it is so true that that's what their life is this second freshman year.
Yeah.
And then I was wondering, can we go, are you willing to share maybe a challenge or a mistake or something that you sort of, as we call it, like rebounded from sort of post-college, something you're like, I don't think the teaching thing was that. It feels like that was a great learning moment, but I don't know. Can you share sort of a bump in the road or something like that you feel like you've got a sort of a good lesson learned from?
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, one, I made plenty of mistakes that first year teaching, that's not the experience I would share here. I think when I think about one of my biggest rebounds was probably, so I had been working in student affairs for 5 years, and I applied for a position, and that was like, my supervisor was leaving, and then I applied for my supervisor's position, and that was like, in my eyes, that's like where my career was going. And I was, you know, like I was excited about the opportunity, and I just, you know, I just thought that this was, you know, what I was made to do. And I applied for the position, and, you know, was offered an on-campus interview, and I did not get the position, and it was, it broke my heart. I mean, it broke my soul, really. And, you know, I thought, you know, like, you know, I look back as a professional, and, you know, I thought that I was, you know, that was what I was made to do at the time. And then, you know, it was really hard that next year, because I had to work for somebody that got the job over me. And that was, you know, I had to eat some humble pie for sure. And I was certainly not in a position to leave my job. So I wasn't financially, you know, independent or anything like that. So then I had to work this year with this new supervisor and really kind of check myself, and, you know, and every day, you know, was a challenge. I think, you know, eventually what ended up helping me was really leaning into like a mentor that I had. And she had written me a recommendation for the job. And she was amazing. And actually a lot of people might know her. If you've ever been to a JMU commencement ceremony, Dr. Jean Martino McAllister, our master of ceremonies, she was a professor of mine and she really helped me that year. And she helped me kind of just ground myself and then kind of make some goals, make some professional goals for myself and, you know, kind of just, you know, worked with me. And we met, I think maybe weekly, even that year, or maybe every other week, I can't remember exactly, but she was kind of a sounding board for me. And then, you know, it seems like a movie, but then, you know, later on in that year, the job that I'm in now actually gets posted, right? And it's a master's level teaching position in the health sciences department. And I couldn't have written a job better, you know? Jean was a professor in the health sciences department at the time. So she definitely helped me, you know, prepare for that interview process. And so when I thought like that other job was like what I was meant to do, then this job actually ends up opening up maybe 6 months later. And I go through that process and here I am, you know, 10 years later, still doing this work. And now I'm working on my doctorate and moving, you know, moving forward still in this, this academic career path, which I didn't really ever think I would be in, but I have to tell you, I love it. So.
Yeah. It's so telling because I think we all have this path for ourselves that we want and then it doesn't happen. And then we look back, oh, this is terrible. It's not what I wanted. And I always tell students the only time you're ever going to see your path is when you look behind you.
Yeah.
Because we never would have picked this path for us. Mm-hmm. So it's so good for you to share. Cause I do think that first job we don't get that, you know, we assume it's unfair or they were this or they were that or whatever. And one of my good friends always says, everything works out the end. If it hasn't worked out, it's not the end.
Yeah.
I've found that I've really enjoyed that as a sort of a way to think about this kind of stuff.
And I think we're like really good at making it work. Right. Because, you know, like, cause you know, sometimes like people will be like, oh, everything happens for a reason. And sometimes I get a little like, well, you know, I don't know about that, but like we make meaning of these things and we learn from them and we grow and that, you know, like we become better because of it, you know, and we get stronger because of it. And so I think that's one of the things and like, yeah, definitely wanted that job. And, but I'm better off that I didn't get it. And I would never know that, you know, unless like you said, looking backwards.
Well, it's funny. I mean, I don't want to make your story my story, but I had a job that I wanted as my dream job, applied for it, didn't get it, went through the, like all the stages of the yeah. probably within 4 hours. And like, I'm going to quit, I'm going to leave and all this kind of stuff. And I stuck it out. And then 4 months later, that person left and then I got it.
Oh, wow.
You know, I quit and left. I never would have gotten that job.
Right.
You know, so it's that kind of a thing where sometimes you got to stick it out and realize that things are working out, you know, in the long run for a reason.
And, you know, so. I'm glad you brought that up too, because my mentor, Jean, she was really good at helping me like see that and like see that, you know, you're still writing your story. So you had to show up every day, like doing good work. Otherwise you wouldn't have been considered for the job 4 months later. Like, you know, cause you could burn it down and what good is that going to do? And so that's why I just think like mentors are so important, cause they give you that safe space where you can like let go a little bit and be honest. And, but then like, you know, when you show up to work, then you can still be like a professional and do the work that you need to do. And so it's important to find those people in your life and in your professional journey that are going to help you get there, I guess.
Yeah, no, I agree. The burn it down is usually the first reaction, but if you burn it down, you can't work there.
Yeah, yeah.
So Tim, I want to just open it up and see if there's anything else. You know, we're going to focus this on, you know, current students that are graduating soon. Any other sort of life lesson or message that you want to send out to folks that are going to hear this and listen to this?
Oh, wow. That's loaded. life lesson. Yeah, I think, right now I'm just seeing like students, I'm just really interested in student well-being and just remembering to like take care of yourself, remembering to, when people are like, oh, when I start, a lot of people are in this artificial race to get started. And like, I guess I would say like it started, like you're doing it, like this is it, like this is life. Learn to appreciate, the experiences that you're having. Slow down every once in a while. Try to be mindful, and take care of yourself and take care of those around you. I think that's the most important thing. And for JMU students, I would say, some of my best experiences were through like the alternative break programs. So if you get opportunities to do things like that, I would encourage you to get outside of your comfort zone and do something that will help you learn and grow and enjoy it. Enjoy the ride.
That's great. Well, Tim, one of the big takeaways for me from this conversation is when you talked about writing your own story. And I think that's such a great lesson learned. I remember hearing Kerry Washington, the actor, give a graduation speech where she talked about everyone is writing their own story and no one gets to write it for you. And you sort of touched on that before. And I just think that's such a great highlight for me of what you're saying is because I do think that so many people don't think they have control over their life and their story. And that even when you decide what you thought you were going to do isn't going to be what you do, you decided that. So I appreciate your themes here today. Appreciate you taking the time. Everybody, that's all for us today. I want to thank Tim Halley for joining us. I hope you'll check us out on Instagram, JMU Rebound there, and stay up to date with our episodes. So until next time, what's your rebound story? Thanks, Tim. Take care.
Thank you.
Rebound. 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 Rebound.